What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Broken Clock Podcast Gamescast. Joe's making noises right in the middle of the introduction, so I really appreciate
that. I had to shut my phone off.
That's good. No, I like that you did that.
I was trying to avoid making noise.
Yeah, there you go. You did it beforehand. So this is the Gamescast for the Broken Clock Podcast group of podcasts. Once again, my name is Adam.
And I'm Joe.
And this is episode number 19, and we are guaranteed to be right at least twice a day, because that is the motto of the Broken Clock Podcast. Joe, welcome.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
So this is where we talk about games. And normally we talk at the very beginning about what we've been playing. However, we're going to do something a little bit different, though still talk about what we've been playing, because Joe and I went on an outing.
You didn't have to say it like that.
Sure did. Say things however I want.
Yeah.
We teased it last week. We were going to go on a special adventure, and we did, to a pinball expo.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
What was it called?
Pintastic New England. So we'll give them a shout out. I had a really good time. I don't want to speak necessarily for Joe. I'll let him do that, since this is a thing we can give opinions.
I also had a very good time, but it was exhausting. I don't exactly know why playing pinball took it out of me so bad. But I
did it for 7 hours.
Yeah, because I was fucking dying by the end of that trip.
Yeah, so we went. It was a Pintastic New England Pinball and Game Room Expo in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. It was going on over the weekend. And Joe and I went up on Friday took some time off work, went up on Friday, and had ourselves a blast. It was two big rooms in like a convention space that just filled with pinball machines.
Pinball machines, a couple little arcade machines and stuff. But it was from what we could tell, it was a fan convention. Most of the pinball machines had brought by this person's name on it. So it seemed like it was an enthusiast convention where, you know, everybody that was a big fan of pinball in the area brought their own machines to, you know, show off to everybody.
Yeah. And some of them were for sale, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that was really cool that it was, like, kind of, you know, homegrown, crowdsourced convention, kind of. Because, I don't know where you would find just a bunch of pinball machines if people didn't own them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I didn't know if they were coming from, like, various arcades in the area, but arcades barely exist anymore, so...
Well, and even so, like, most arcades only have, like, maybe one or two pinball machines, and, like, they're not nearly as prevalent as...
Yeah, and a lot of these are, like, old classic pinball machines.
Yeah, there were some from, like, the 60s, it looked like.
I mean, I'm sure there were probably some of them that were even older than that.
Yeah, I like all the ones with, like, the mechanical dials and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we went, and it was relatively cheap. It was $20 to go in, and it was all the machines were set on free play.
Mm-hmm.
It was an all-day thing for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They had all the pinball machines. They also had a bunch of tables and vendors where you could buy pinball machine parts. You could buy graphics for the, you know, sides of the cabinets or the tables. And just like basically everything that you would need if you were a giant pinball enthusiast, including there was that one vendor that just had like old junk that looked like it was from like American Pickers, where it's just like,
oh my God,
old gas station, like gas.
Little things. Wooden Hitlers.
Little wooden Hitlers for some reason.
Like, I'm sure they were from like some old pinball type machine from the 40s where like
you gotta knock it into
Jerry.
That was really weird.
Some really, really racist Chinese caricatures or Japanese caricatures.
Yeah. And it was also weird that was like one of the first things we saw when we walked in. Like, you know, you see the pinball stuff. We went in, we saw all the pinball things, we saw all the parts, and we're like just doing a lay of the land kind of thing, and there's just little wooden Hitler for some reason.
Yeah.
Nobody
like I said,
bought
I'm
it.
Sure it was from some like World War II
something
propaganda pinball machine.
Yeah, something like
Or some form of arcade type game.
Collectible something.
From the, what are they used to call them, the penny arcades?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't around. so we had an absolute blast. So rather than doing the normal, like, what we played on PS4 and Switch and Xbox, we're just going to talk about that right off the bat. So, Joe, what did you think about the experience as a whole?
Like I said, I had a blast. I've never played as much pinball in my entire life up until...
Same.
That one day probably tripled the amount of pinball I've played in the course of my 34 years of existence.
Yeah, it definitely eclipsed, I think, my total time of playing actual pinball. Mm-hmm. Like, I've played the digital ones, you know, here and there I don't think any of them totaled the day that we spent.
Yeah, and I've completely learned that I have absolutely no idea how you actually play pinball.
Same.
Because, we watched other people play, like, that were very good at pinball. And they were, like, you know, fucking ranking up the ludicrous amounts of scores that were just very varied depending on what machine you were playing. But we were watching people, you know, being pinball wizards and stuff. And to me, I'm just like, I try and make sure it doesn't go down the hole. Like,
don't lose if the ball
comes near it, I hit the flipper button.
Yep.
I have no idea what you're actually supposed to do in pinball to actually win at pinball. I guess you don't actually win at pinball, but...
Yeah, well, you set high scores, and, like, well, my thing with pinball is that depending on the table, there's, like, special things that you're supposed to hit, like, different ramps you're supposed to go up at different times, and, like, different, like, lights are lit up to get you different points and things like that.
Yeah, and whenever, I know there's, like, targets, and you gotta try and knock things down, but...
But, like, whenever there was, like, a special, like, I was playing a Spider-Man table, and it's like, do this objective. I was like, I don't fucking...
Yeah, it was like, now defeat Doc Ock.
Yeah, it's like, but I don't know what that means. I'm just making sure the ball doesn't go down.
Yeah, where do I hit, like, where do I hit the ball? What do I, what am I trying, what am I aiming for?
Yeah.
So how do you aim the ball?
I realize the same thing, is that I'm not very good at pinball. But pinball, I also realize, is one of those things that, like, you don't have to be good at it. Yeah. You can just play it to not lose the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goal was just not to lose, and I'm bad at that.
Yeah. I also figured out I'm very bad at multi-ball. Like, anytime
multiple balls... I, however, figured out I'm great at multi-ball.
I was really bad. Like, I would get multi-balls on different tables, and then, like, three of them would be going at once. And I would keep it going for, like, a minute, and then all of a sudden, like, I would lose all three at the same time. And be like, I don't even know... How did that even happen? I don't even know how that happened.
Like I said, I figured out the trick. Don't pay attention to where the balls are going. Just stare at the flippers.
Oh, that's all I was doing.
And still, just, like... As soon as a ball gets near that, just start fucking clicking those things like crazy.
Go. So yeah, I had a blast too. Like I said, we were there for, I think, close to 7 hours. And granted, like, not all of it was...
We left at 11, right?
We got there about noon.
Yeah.
And we left about 7:30.
Yeah.
We took, you know, like, a half hour break to go get some lunch or whatever. And we walked around, like, the... It was at a hotel and convention, like, area. Like, a very small thing. But
it was a nice hotel, though.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what the rooms look like, but, like, that lobby part, the foyer was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we also did check out the hotel had its own game room.
Oh, so
we went from the area with all the pinball machines and all the arcade stuff. And there was some console stuff there, too. Like, some people had, they had Wii U's, and they were playing Mario Kart and things like that.
Yeah, they had a, like, Smash Brothers tournament at some point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we went, and we looked at the hotel's game room, which was, like, Hydro Thunder.
Hydro Thunder, I think Cruisin' USA.
Yep. A bunch of claw machines with candy from I don't know what decade.
I don't even want to know how long that gum was in that quarter machine.
So long, I'm sure. And then they had a bunch of, like, old shooty games that didn't work. So we were there for close to 7 hours. Some of it was standing in line waiting to play certain machines, though you never really had to wait in line very long.
No, it was usually, like, only at most two people in front of you waiting to get on the machine.
And that's the thing, like, if the line was any longer, there were so many machines that you just went and played a different machine. Like, even if it was one you didn't want to play.
Yeah. Like, well, you were determined to play, like, certain ones. Yeah, you're I am playing that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, I want to play the Spider-Man machine. I want to play the Star Wars one. Like,
I was walking around just going, like, is there a free machine?
Yeah, well, I was doing that, too, for the most part. It was really at the end of the day where I was like, all right, I got to hit these certain ones. And I think all said and done, we probably each played, like, probably close to 40 different tables, I think.
Probably even more than that.
Yeah, at least that. Because, like, I took a photo of every single, like, machine that I played. And then I think I looked at my photos and I had, like... I think I had, like, close to 90 photos. But, like, some of them were multiples of the same machine. Or some of them were videos. Shots of the crowd and stuff. Like, videos that I took just, like, walking around the show floor. And we did take a bunch of footage. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But hopefully we can put some stuff together and put it up on YouTube.
I haven't had a chance to look at any of my stuff yet either.
But we'll definitely try to see if we can mix some pictures in there with that footage and see if we can't give you guys just kind of a little bit of what we saw in terms of the fun that we had. But I had a lot of fun. But yeah, at the end of the day, I was very tired. We thought about doing this and recording this right afterwards, and we were both kind of like,
no.
Yeah, no.
I was like, I can barely stand, let alone sit for 2 hours and record something.
Yeah, and like, I was surprised too. Like, there was a whole bunch of different, like, variety of people there. There was old, there was young, there was middle-aged, like, there was families there. There were kids, like, you know, 20 and 30-somethings our age.
Yeah.
Like, there was a wide... I thought it was just going to be a bunch of old dudes and white New Balances, just like... Pinball's the best, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised the amount of, like, you know, kids like in the 15-year-old range I saw walking around. And I'm sure a lot of them were like, dad was like, we're going to go check out the pinball thing. And they went, what the hell is pinball?
I don't think they would have said, what the hell is pinball? I feel like you know what pinball is.
Never. Kids these days.
But especially if your dad wants to bring you to the pinball.
Yeah, I guess that's true. If your dad is the kind of dad that wants to bring you, he probably has a pinball machine at home in the garage that he's like, I got to go out and play the Addams Family pinball machine in the garage.
And I'm sure he probably also has like a t-shirt that has some kind of like
pinball related, wizard.
Or like pinball related pun on it. You know. Something stupid like that. Like, you enjoy a day at the beach, I'll take my flippers on the pinball table, or like something stupid.
Yeah, that was
like
a bad pun.
I'm going to put on a t-shirt. Not even a pun. We're going to buy it.
Awful.
Terrible.
But, so what was your favorite machine?
So, like I said, I played a handful of different games.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man one was really fun. I like the, there was one based on the Ultimate Comics and then one based on the movie trilogy, like the Sam Raimi.
Yeah, it was
trilogy.
Like all three of them.
Yeah. I thought those were kind of fun. I liked, what else did I play that I really, really liked? I liked the Star Wars one was good. I did play the Episode One pinball machine, which I played before recently too, like within the last couple of years at like a gas station.
I didn't understand that one because it had like a projected screen on the table.
It was really weird.
And like, but like it footage. Like, but it like blocked the top half of the table, so you couldn't see like the upper area of the pinball.
Yeah, that table was oriented really weird, but it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I also played all of the ones based on bands that they had.
You were really determined to play like the AC/DC one and shit.
There wasn't. No, it was I played Van Halen,
or Aerosmith.
I played Van Halen, Aerosmith,
Metallica,
Kiss, Guns N' Roses, and Metallica.
Yeah.
I think was all the ones that I played. Surprisingly, not one for The Who wrote a song called Pinball Wizard. But
I'm surprised there wasn't a Tommy Pinball Machine.
I know, that would have been really. I would have played the fuck out of that. I love that album, and the movie is weird, but the album's great. So I played all of those, which they would have been a lot more fun had I been able to really hear the music.
Yeah, because, it was very loud.
Yeah, like it's, this place has high ceilings and there's a lot of people and a lot
and
of, you know, pings.
100 and, machines dinging and donging all at once.
Yeah. Well, even the one, the one that all the music ones were in was in the bigger room that had less pinball machines, but there's still a lot of talking. There's a lot of noise coming from everywhere. And I think.
Well, that was like the commerce room, so that's where all the like people were buying and selling shit.
Yeah. But I had a lot of fun with those. I liked the Guns N' Roses table because it had two. I don't know the.
It had a gun and a rose.
Yeah, to like for the ball like shooters or I forget what they're called.
Launchers.
Like, yeah, launchers. One was shaped like a gun and one was shaped like a rose, and I was like, all right, pinball machine, I see you.
I didn't figure out how to make it launch from the rose though. Like obviously the gun shot the ball.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the rose one did.
I assume it's probably something where you activate a bonus mode, a second ball and
launch
you
the rose.
Yeah, exactly. You can pull it from the other side. I'm sure it had something to do with that. I just didn't get very far in it because like I said, I'm not very good at pinball. But those music ones, the metallic one was really
cool. Yeah, that one was really cool.
That I think I waited the longest for, but only because the guy in front of me like doubled everybody else's score and set the high score on the table, which was really impressive to watch. Because it's playing Metallica songs the whole time. It's got a bunch of cool features in the table itself. There's this one mechanic where if you shoot it into like the graveyard, the ball goes underneath the top layer of glass and into like a coffin sort of like, and the LED screen in the front like showed you a little coffin with a ball going into it. And then if you fill up the coffin with three balls, then that gets you more bonus points. I tried to do it. I couldn't do it. Mm. And this guy racked up, I think, like 200 million. The next closest high score on the table was like 150 million. And the next closest score of the people he was playing, because they were playing multiplayer, which is also a thing I never figured out how to do.
Yeah, we tried to figure out how to get it to at least like do two-player on some of them.
Couldn't do it. Because like I think it would make sense if you were doing it where you're putting in quarters and you're feeding a regular machine, you just put it in either side.
Maybe it's just we had to press start twice to like indicate two people or something. I don't know.
But the next closest guy to him got like 80 million. And this guy got 200 and he just went forever. So like I was okay to wait for that one because I was watching this guy be really awesome at pinball. And I really like that Metallica table. I don't know which one was my favorite though. Because that was the original question right before I went on.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Let me think of it. What was your favorite table? Because I think I already know what your favorite table is.
Well, I played on a bunch of them also, and there were a couple of them that stood out. Like, I like the Street Fighter 2 one after I figured out how to actually play the Street Fighter 2 one.
Oh, yeah, because the Street Fighter 2 one was the one where as soon as you launched the ball,
it instantly went right down the center of the board and into the thing where you couldn't even hit it with the flippers.
Yeah, and like the trajectory was perfect. No matter how hard or soft you pulled the lever back,
it automatically shot right down the center of the thing, and you couldn't even hit the ball. So yeah. It was nothing but lose. It was only until I realized that there was a flipper at the top of the board that you had to hit like as it came out to launch it. I don't know why you make it that way. That seemed like a very weird design.
Hey, learning curve.
Or there was just some cheeky bastard designing the game, going like, "I'm gonna get so many quarters out of this."
Yeah, right. Fuck these teenagers.
Really hated kids.
I did like that that machine too, because of the mechanic where you knock the ball underneath the table, and the goal is to use flippers to hit the ball into beating up a car. Yes,
there was a separate little area underneath the table where there was like a glass plane underneath the table you could see through, and there was a car in the bottom. And you had to, yeah, the ball would go down there, and you just had to repeatedly keep hitting the flipper, and it would smash the car, like the old, like, we gotta punch the car, Street Fighter level. Yeah. So that was really cool. Like,
I told my buddy, who's the big Street Fighter guy, and I was like, dude, there was this, and he's like, and you hit it in a car? That's so awesome! Yeah. I was like, yeah, it was like a really cool feature of that
game. There was a Royal Rumble one I really liked, and it was cool because it rumbled.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It felt like the whole table.
Yeah, like every time you would hit certain things, it would make the entire table like vibrate and stuff. And I had like gotten to the sweet spot of that one, which I didn't even know like if I was earning a vast amount of points. But I got to the point where like I would hit it and it would go up a little ramp, and then come right back down. I would hit it and it would just kept going. And
yeah, you must have getting points for that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, like I was never really paying too much attention to how many points I was getting. Yeah. I was just kind of enjoying the tables. So I just was like sitting there stuck in an infinite loop of repeatedly hitting it through that thing. But that one was really cool just also because I'm a big wrestling fan. I was just like, oh my God, it's the Undertaker. Oh my God.
It's like old Undertaker, like Macho Man. Like it's a big, like derpy looking Hulk Hogan face, like right on the top of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool.
I think the one I liked the most, the table though, was there was one for Rescue 911, which was like an old TV show back when I was growing up. It was just
the 90s, right? Like the mid, early 90s.
Like probably late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Which was just like recreations of 911 calls.
Yep.
It was like on the same time as Unsolved Mysteries, right after or before Unsolved Mysteries.
It's a true crime type show.
Yeah, yeah. But that one, it was just really cool because it had a, inside the table, there was a helicopter that would like fly around and pick up your ball and like take it to the hospital and like drop it on the hospital thing, and then would, you know, roll down and come back out. But it was just really cool seeing that little helicopter flying around inside the machine. You know, it was just on a jib arm. It wasn't flying around willy-nilly, but it would like move around and like pick the ball up if you hit it in a certain area and shit.
Yeah, and then you press the triggers to like release the ball to help like get you stuff. There was another one I had that was something similar. Like, remember that one I was playing where it was like in a tank, so to speak, and I had to shoot it out? Were you standing there when I was playing that one?
I don't remember that one.
I don't remember what game it was, but it was something where like the ball left the table area and went into this like separate little like contraption on top of everything, and I had to shoot it.
Oh no, I do remember what you're talking about.
I don't remember what game it was.
Shit, yeah. That one was cool. I'll
go back and look through it. But those were the coolest mechanics. Yeah. Like whenever something left the normal play surface, that's when I had the coolest time.
Oh, and that Medieval Madness one was really cool.
That one was
where cool. Like you had to destroy the castle. There was a castle at the back of the thing. You had to like first you had to hit it to a certain thing, and it would like lower the drawbridge, and then once the drawbridge is lowered, you could hit it and it would smash the hole in the wall. And then like once you did that, you could try and get inside the hole in the wall, and that would knock over parts of the like parapets of the castle and stuff. Yep. And eventually you had to like destroy the castle by hitting the ball into it enough times.
Yeah, like all that stuff was really, really cool to me. Like anytime it was more than just the ball rolling around on the table with the, you know, hitting it with the flippers.
Yeah, like, it gave you something to aim for.
Yeah, and like something cool to like see happen that was different than the other machines, because like every machine did like little things differently. Especially with points, which Joe, the whole day, Joe and I were just in awe of the fact that, like, so many things about pinball are very straightforward. You got the balls, you got flippers, you got ramps, you got things to hit, things to knock down. All these different mechanics are, like, very, very similar. But the points are off the charts, like...
All over the place.
Like,
you hit two things on this table, and you get, like, 10,000 points. You hit two things on this table, you have 170 million points.
Yeah.
Like, there were some games where, you know, you would play, and you would do really good, and you'd be like, all right, cool, what was my score? Like, oh, cool, 100,000 points. You go to another table, you have, like, 980 billion points ranked up after, like, 2 minutes of playing. there was apparently no guiding, law to how much the point value totals when playing a certain or when designing a certain game.
Yeah, it's like they all just, there's no like uniform thing for points. It's everybody just like, yeah, do whatever the fuck, like, who cares? It doesn't really matter. So
the more points that they earn, the more they feel like they're actually doing something, and the more quarters they put into it.
I guess that's most likely the driving force behind it, is that if you feel like you just got 300 million points, you're more likely to continue playing, where if you got 3,000 points, you'd be like, this game sucks. I'm not playing this game anymore.
Oh man, I'm terrible at this one.
Yeah.
There were a lot of cool arcade game or non-pinball game stuff too. Yeah. They had like a lot of arcade games and stuff. Like there was a homebrewed, I'm assuming, because I had never heard anything about it, like that 2D or that two-person Mega Man game that we played.
Oh yeah, that one. Someone told me they had played that game before.
Oh really?
It was like Mega Man Versus, I think is what it was called, or something like that.
But it wasn't even Versus. It was like two player play Mega Man and Proto Man,
yeah,
and like you pick a boss and the two of you fight the boss.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, and that was a lot of, it was really easy. I mean,
it was super
easy. Once we got farther in, we got our asses kicked. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, and
the Double Dragon.
We played some Double Dragon, but everyone knows Double Dragon. I played a really cool old game that I'd never heard of called Shootout, which
that
was like
was fun.
You're like a old school hard boiled detective, and it was just like you walk around the bottom of the screen and. It's, a shooting gallery thing. And, an enemy would walk in. You had to, shoot at, angle to certain shots. And you could shoot forward at an angle, left or right, and then to the left or the right.
Yeah.
And you just walked across the bottom. And I had a blast playing that game.
I really liked it because, all these bad guys keep popping up, but there's this one lady, and she's just walking back. She's
just walking around!
Pacing back and forth in the middle of, was it carnival?
It was a carnival, yeah.
And she's just pacing back and forth like, this is fine.
And I'm sitting there going lady, get out of the goddamn way! There's a shootout going on!
I'm trying to shoot bad guys! that one was really cool. I liked watching you play that one. What else? Oh, we played Golden Axe or Alter Beasts?
No, we played Golden Axe.
Golden Axe, that's what
that,
it is.
That one, the controls, the sticks felt kind of fucked up on that one, though.
Yeah, and the buttons weren't great. That's the thing that kind of sucked about some of the machines. Not all of them. Most of them were in pretty good shape, but some of them, because they're old and because it's, just regular people upkeeping them, they got a little, some of the flippers.
Wear and tear.
Yeah, some of the flippers didn't work quite right. One thing I will give them credit for is that because these were all 100% owned and operated by people at the convention, there was a system where if something was broken, you would put a note in an area of one of the rooms and just be like, hey, flipper on this doesn't work. Hey, the lights don't work here. Whatever.
Yeah.
And they were really good about just going out and fixing stuff.
Yeah, and it was cool to see the guys opening up the machines and fixing them, because I'm just looking at the massive wires and servos and shit going how the hell do you even know what the fuck you're doing?
Yeah, I asked that one guy was open, and I took a picture of what he was working on. I was how do you even know where to begin? How do you know where to start on a pinball machine? Because it's all wires and mechanisms. Yeah,
400,000 wires in that machine.
Yeah, and he must have thought it was stupid, because he's like, oh, because I saw the thing hanging over and knew it was broken. I was like, oh, well, I guess there, when it's something physically obviously wrong with a piece is dislodged.
Yeah, sure. It's probably pretty easy to figure out the bumper is busted.
Yeah.
The flipper is busted.
He might as well have been fixing a bumper when I asked him, how do you know what's wrong? He's like, the bumper doesn't flip. Get out of here, kid.
The screw is broken,
yeah,
you idiot.
I'm just tightening it. Get the fuck out of here. Stop trying to know about pinball, noob.
Get out of here. This is my turf.
Yeah. But I did think it was cool how quick they were able to fix stuff, because, we've been to arcades. We know what arcades are like. We're like, if a game is broken in an arcade, they put a sign on it, and you could be there every day over the weekend at an arcade.
And that will remain broken.
Remain broken the whole time. We're here... There were games that were broken when we got there and fixed by the time we left. And, that was pretty cool, because there was one, I forget which one, that was, broken. And I was like, oh, man, I really want to play that one. And then we walked by later, it was fixed, and I got to play it. And, that was pretty cool. I don't remember what machine it was.
We never got to play the Simpsons bowling game, though. That remained broken the whole time.
Oh, the actual, arcade
one? The arcade one.
Yeah, I really wanted to play that one, too. But, alas, it was broken the whole time.
But we're forgetting the one game that we had the most fun with, which turns out it wasn't even an arcade game or a pinball machine. I don't even know what it was. Just a bar game of some kind.
It was I would say it was an arcade game. It was probably in an old-fashioned,
Yes, very, very old school.
It's a diner game. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where, you'd have it in the arcade of a diner.
Yeah, but it was called, what was it called?
Ringer.
Ringer, yes. Right,
that's the one I assume that's the one you're
talking about. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the one we had the most fun playing.
I did have a lot of fun with that one. So Ringer was basically an old-fashioned horseshoe arcade game where all it was you had this one panel like screen, static picture,
yep.
And then going from left to right or right to left, depending on which player you're playing as, there were little lights.
A series of lights arching across it.
Yeah, and like the horseshoe looked like it was spinning in the air. So like it just turns and rotates. And so what you would do is...
There was a big silver wheel in the front of it, and you had to spin the wheel. And depending on how much force you put into the spin is how hard your character threw the horseshoe to the other side.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you threw it too hard, it would go, you know, it would land in the thing, but then it would bounce out. And, in you know, there was an arch above it. And then there was a little horseshoe pit that had, you know...
Like 5 spots for points?
Yeah, there was like 2 1-point spots. Or no, there were 4 1-point spots.
Yeah, in each of the
corners. 2 2-point spots and 1 3-point spot.
Yep. So you'd turn the wheel and you'd watch your light arcing across the screen. And as it would get closer, you'd hear the wheel hopefully start to slow down.
Clicking.
And with each click, the light moved. And so as you get close to that pit, you're like, okay, I'm at 1... 1, 2, 3, 2, 1. What? Damn it! And when you realize you threw it too hard. So I think we played what 3 games of that.
Yes.
And who was the best at that?
I don't remember.
Joe has a terrible memory. He doesn't remember that I was the best.
God, I'm the only person that got a 3-pointer.
That's true. So we played the first game. Like, so he played on his own when I was playing a different machine. He came back and he's like, "Dude, we gotta play this game. It's really easy, but it's a ton of fun." So we went over a little bit later, and we played a game, which was, I think, our closest game, because I was winning, like, 2-0, or, like, 2-1, because it was very hard to score points, because there's no real gauge of how, like, because the wheel was not heavy, but, like, it turned slowly, kind of. Like, you need to put a little bit of force to it, but not, obviously not too much. And so we were very bad at scoring points, but Joe tied it up on his very last throw, and then, like, I had one more throw, and I got a point. So that was the closest one. And then we went to start a second game, and he accidentally did 1-player. And the first throw of his 1-player game, he threw a ringer, which was 3 points. And then we're like, oh, but it was only 1-player. Does it count? We got to start over.
Damn it.
But yeah, so you are the only person to have gotten a ringer in the games that we played. But I did beat you all 3 times, so I'm the champ. I win. I'm the best. No one's going to bring me down.
I hate you.
I know you do. But no, that game was super fun because it was so easy.
Yeah, it was so simple.
Yeah.
And like we said, they were selling a lot of games, and I looked at that and I was like, okay, if there's a price on this, depending on, I couldn't imagine it being too expensive because of how simplistic it was.
But also, it's old.
It was also old. But yeah. I was like, if there's a price on this, there's a good chance I'm fucking buying this right now.
I have no room in the house.
But it said not for sale on it.
And that was cool that, like, some guys were like, this is my... I want you guys to play this, but this one's mine.
Yeah. I had never heard of that game before.
No, neither had I.
And it was really cool of that guy to bring it in and at least let people, like, play it.
Yeah. So I was looking through my photos to see what my favorite game was. And I decided my favorite game was Monday Night Football.
Yes.
And the reason why is because it had one of those mechanics that I like so much, which is when you pull back the lever to shoot the ball... If you shoot it, like, full power, it just goes onto the table and plays. If you shoot it, like, with a little bit less power, they had different holes along the ramp up.
That it came out?
That you could put the ball into, and what those corresponded to was yardage for a field goal. And what would happen is if you put it in one of those holes, a piece in the middle of the board would lift up to make an incline, and uprights for football would raise up out of the thing. And so the goal was then to use the flippers to shoot it up the ramp and through the field goal to try to get points. And, like, that was the most addicting part of that game. I just wanted to kick field goals. I didn't want to do anything
that
else was kick field goals. And that was a super ton of fun.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed soccer because there was a goal at the back that you had to try to shoot it into. And I scored a bunch of goals. I was real good at soccer. For, what was it, World Cup 94? I think it was whatever World Cup that it was, had U.S. matches.
Oh, yeah, the one that had Augie Doggy on it.
Yes. Yeah, the one with the dog. I also remembered that we played the Jurassic Park game that had the dinosaur that ate the pinball.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool.
That was cool. Or the Lost World one where the egg hatched.
Yeah, where, like, you could see the egg was going to hatch, but, like, you didn't know when it was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, like, this fake-ass dinosaur pops out of this really crappy-looking egg. And you're like, whoa,
look at him go. He's adorable.
So, yeah, all the stuff that was, like... Not the flippers and the switches. Those are the coolest things to me. But that Monday Night Football was a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. I really liked that one. And it was, like, clearly from the 80s. So it had, like, Frank Gifford was the announcer for like anybody that knows football.
Yeah,
like,
that good old Frank Gifford.
Well, you know who Kathy Lee Gifford is?
Yes.
From the Today Show and
yes.
like Regis?
Oh, yeah, Regis Kathy Lee.
That's her husband.
Oh.
There you go.
Good for them.
Yeah, so you know. You know yeah. who that is. But it's like just a super old like football guy who I think is probably dead now. But it was just weird to see like the branding for older things. That was a lot of fun. Although my favorite was the all of the just like the games that were clearly based on a regular property, but changed just enough so they didn't have to pay them for it.
Oh yeah,
like Deadly Weapon, which was very much a Lethal Weapon ripoff. Because like,
what was the other one? There was another good one.
Strange Science.
Strange Science. Yeah, that very, is it.
Very. The logo looked just like Weird Science. The Deadly Weapon one had the guy on the picture on the table had that like you know coif mullet thing that clearly to look like Mel Gibson.
Yeah,
I was really hoping that they would have.
There was no Murdoch though.
Well, Murtaugh.
Murtaugh.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. There was another guy, but like he didn't look like Danny Glover.
No, he was a white guy.
Yeah, no, he might have been Hispanic. He was a little bit darker than coif Mel Gibson guy.
Yeah,
but I was really hoping that there'd be like things on the table that like kind of reference the movie. Be like, I'm aging too fast for
I'm
this
not
stuff.
Young enough for this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But none of that. I was really hoping they took it that extra mile to just be like really infringing on a copyright.
Yeah.
So those are cool. I also really like the old ones. Like the really,
yeah, a lot
really
of the
old
really
ones.
Old ones were really kind of fun.
Very basic. There was one there. So there was this one area along the back wall where it was just nothing but old machines. Like all these,
yeah,
like,
and these were
60s.
The ones straight from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very basic, like, you know, they didn't have crazy mechanisms in it and stuff like that. You were just trying to hit the little targets
yeah,
and stuff.
Flippers and bumpers, and that was it. But it was this one, like, patch where it's all these, like, cool themed things where it's, like, a magic theme and, like, a wizard's theme and a, like...
Cowboy
tiger,
theme.
Yeah, a space shooter, like, generic sci-fi. And then there was one that was just, like, girls playing cards.
Yeah, two girls in a bedroom playing cards.
Yeah, just, like... playing solitaire, like, or whatever, like, Go Fish. And it was like, what, that's the theme for this game?
Yep.
Just, like, Girls' Night In?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't
they
make
had, like,
sense.
Rollers in their hair and stuff.
It didn't make any sense whatsoever.
It was, like, Wizards, Cowboys, and that.
Yeah, and just, like, girls having a good old-fashioned innocent slumber party. Mm-hmm. That's fun. So, yeah, wide range of themes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, they had a Star Trek one. We played The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, they had like original Star Trek one and a new movie Star Trek one.
And a Next Generation one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I played all three. They were fun. The Star Wars ones were better.
Yeah. But I've never been a Star Trek fan anyways.
I mean, I've enjoyed Star Trek enough, but just not to the point where I was like, I gotta play this machine. My mom was always a big Star Trek fan, though, so I sent her a picture of the one that had like...
Your mom's a nerd.
Wow. with like Captain Kirk on it and stuff like that, and she just replied to the text "Beam me up, Scotty," and I was just like, "That's really funny." It makes no sense in the context of the picture that I sent, but sure.
She's a real nerd.
Yeah, I know, right? She responds with things like that, but we're nerds too, and that's okay, and that's why we go to pinball conventions.
Mm.
They also like we each bought some old fashioned pinball parts for machines we don't have. Joe bought a pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Did you lose it yet?
No, not yet.
I didn't buy one.
I was surprised as we like walked around for a while, and like we said, there were people selling all sorts of old parts. You know, there was, you know, things just filled with bumpers and flippers and buttons and lights and circuit boards and blah 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 and everything. And I was like, I haven't seen anyone selling just pinballs, like just the regular silver pinball.
Yeah.
And finally, we found one like booth that had them, but I was surprised out of all the people selling stuff that. It took us that time to find that one booth that had the new the fucking pinballs being sold. And like you said, it's probably safe to assume that if you're the kind of person that's buying parts for pinball machines, you probably have a surplus of pinballs in your apartment or house or garage or wherever the fuck you're... I don't think a lot of people in apartments buy pinball machines.
No, I would think... I would hope not. Unless that's their whole apartment, and then that's kind of cool, I guess. But no real room for anything else.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we also bought little like arcade buttons or like bumper
buttons.
No,
they're the flipper buttons.
Yeah, well, they're the same thing as arcade buttons.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Because like
they made the perfect fidget toy.
That's right. Fidget cubes and spinners are all the rage. And I had mine at work on Saturday because like I worked the next day, and I brought it in, and like there wasn't anybody in at first, so I was just like clicking away, and like someone came in a little bit later, and I was just clicking, and someone was like, "What the fuck is that noise?" And I was like, "Oh, sorry, that's me. That's me. I'm being obnoxious."
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. And I will say, I was sitting at home just going like click 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 over and over and over again.
That's right. It's a good video game workout.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready for it.
Getting them thumbs worked out.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the day. It was a long day. Very tired. Yes. Anything else that you want to say specifically about our day playing pinball?
I mean, I was kind of a little disappointed about there were people selling a lot of stuff, and there were people selling like old video game stuff, and I was kind of disappointed there wasn't more of that because I was looking for like old systems and shit to buy.
Well, I'm wondering too. There was a sign inside that said there was a flea market outside, but it was raining like pretty much the whole day.
Time, yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe there weren't supposed to be more stuff like on the outside
come.
And
yeah.
People either didn't come or didn't feel like setting up shop because it was raining pretty hard when we got there. So I'm wondering if that maybe had something to do with it as well. But yeah, like the like console area, as they called it, was really just like a Wii U and like one of those
Retron 5s.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a guy set up. He was selling a whole bunch of Nintendo and Super Nintendo and like Nintendo 64 games, and he had one of the Retroid 5s, and it looked like he was actually, you could rent like the games, so you could be like, you know, I don't know, you go up to him and be like, I want to play that game.
Oh, and you rent it.
And then he would put it in the Retron 5 for you, and you got to play it.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to it, like, because I just looked at some of the stuff he had and was just like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, because I saw people, like, taking games out of it, like, walking. You know, I mean, maybe you just like, should, like, test them out or something like
maybe.
That also. But
yeah.
I saw people, like, taking games out of it, walking up to the table where he had all the games and, like, giving it to him. And he'd take something else out and give it to him. They'd be like, I'm going to play NBA Jam on the Genesis. And he'd be like, okay, here you go.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably, like, owns a store because, like, you know, there's so many retro video game stores now. I'm sure he just wanted to, you know, hey, test this game out. If you want to buy it, sure, go ahead and buy it. If not, you know what kind of product I have. Come on down to my store. Like, because there were other people like that, too. We played a couple, I forget what arcade game we were playing, but the guy, like, walked up to us, and he's like, hey, this is our arcade machine. We own this new, like, arcade bar in Massachusetts. Like, here's a coupon for free tokens or whatever. Like, come check us out. So, like, there are people doing the free stuff, so that way you'll come check out their business and hopefully spend some money with them, too. So there was, like, a good variety of stuff, and I like pinball a lot more than I did before going.
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up, pinball was the last thing I wanted to play when I went to an arcade.
Yeah, you want to play the arcade games.
Yeah, you wanted to play Time Crisis.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. And you shoot stuff. But yeah, like, we went, and I think, like, I know I went in with pretty low expectations. Like, not low, but just, like, I wasn't expecting to be wowed.
Yeah, no, yeah. I went in going, like, this is either going to be really fun or it's going to be really bad. Like, I didn't see a middle ground. I said, this is either going to be, we get there and there's going to be 10 arcade, like, or 10 pinball games and, like, 50 people all standing around, like, waiting for a chance to play it. Or this place is going to be just filled to the brim with shit and we're going to be running around going, like, I want to try this one. And that's what we got.
Yeah. Yeah, because I when I first found out about it, and I don't even remember how I found out about it. I was trying to think about that the other day, like, I don't remember how I found out that this existed. I saw it somewhere online, like in an ad on Facebook or who knows what. And, you know, they show you pictures online of like what the space looks like. And they're like, here's the arcade room and here's this. And there's, you know, fake pictures of what the like table areas are going to look like. But I didn't know necessarily what to specifically expect. And it exceeded my expectations because, like you said, there was no point where we were like, fuck, we can't play anything right now. All the lines are long. And surprisingly, it got less busy as the day went on, which
that was surprising too.
I thought people would like get out of work and come, and they had a deal where if you got there like after 6, it was, you know, $15 instead of 20 or whatever. So I was surprised more people didn't come, but I was kind of glad because, you know, we got to play more pinball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like pinball a lot more than I did before. But yeah, we had a grand old time, and hopefully we'll be able to show you guys some footage and some pictures and stuff. I did post a couple things on Twitter. I wasn't like super active that day just because I was, you know, playing the pinball. But there's a couple pictures I put up, and hopefully we'll be able to put up more stuff and share more stuff in the coming weeks. So check for that kind of stuff, and we'll let you know, and we'll post on Twitter and you know, do different things to let you guys know if and when we get that stuff up there. But
yeah, other than that, a YouTube channel or something.
Yeah, which we'll be starting hopefully. But yeah, other than that, I had a blast. Joe, you have a blast?
No, it was terrible.
damn, all this time, and I really thought he had fun. But yeah, so that was our special outing. But since this is our video game podcast, while those aren't specifically video game related, we're going to launch into normal news. And there's a lot less news this week, as you know, as we're going to find out post E3 is a lot less news. But we've got the lightning round and some news bits. So let's jump right into it with a game that got announced this week, or not. I assume it got announced this week. This is the first time
they probably knew about it in Japan for a little while. Yeah. Up to this.
But there is now a game coming out called Warriors All-Stars, which is a Koei Tecmo Musou game that looks like it's taking characters from a bunch of different series. Dynasty Warriors, the guy from Neo is in there, so I think Joe's now going to play it.
Yep, Ninja Gaiden, there was Dead or Alive.
Yep, there's a bunch of different stuff, and it's just another Dynasty Warriors type game. This one doesn't look like it's going to be open world.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this looked cool, because I was like, oh, cool. It's cool to see all these different characters getting put into a game. But then I was like, but we got this new one coming out that looks like it's going to be more interesting because of the way that it's set up. So maybe this is just to kind of tie people over until then. But I was kind of like, all right, that looks cool, but I'm more interested in Dynasty Warriors 9? I'm more interested in Dynasty Warriors 9. Like, I was like, okay, that looks cool. Give me the other one instead.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is that, like, they've been doing a lot of these, like, spin-off, offshoot Warriors games. There's Hyrule Warriors, the Fire Emblem one.
Yeah,
there's
One Piece Pirate Warriors. Yeah,
as we've talked about every time we bring up, you know, one of these types of games.
Dragon Quest Heroes.
So this was one of those things where this is clearly just another holdover until the next Dynasty Warriors game comes out. Because this game, and I don't know if that was just the Japan release date, but it's, like, the end of August. It's the
29th. August 29th.
Yep. So that's coming out real soon. And that looks kind of cool. If it comes west that day, I think I might try to check it out. At the very least, pick it up and try to play it. Like, not necessarily buy it, but hopefully I can find a way to play it. Because I like those games, and, like, the fact that you're mixing all these different characters together would give you probably a more varied play style than the Dynasty Warriors games would. Though that open world does seem really intriguing.
Yeah, and I would like to see, like, you know, with the introduction of characters like Ryu from Ninja Gaiden and William from Neo, those guys have a much more varied combat style than the traditional, just like a heavy attack, low, big swing, light, fast swing kind of thing. So that'd be cool if he actually was running around like in Ninja Gaiden, you know, doing all sorts of crazy flips, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, like I want to still be able to do
massive amounts of attacks.
Yeah. I'd still want to be able to do like roll on the ground and like jump and all the different things that like they can do that I don't think has been in Dynasty Warriors games. Like, you can roll on Dynasty Warriors games, can't you?
I haven't played one since like Dynasty Warriors 3, so
it's been a really long time. I want to get back into them because I do have a lot of fun with them. And
Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, I like Hyrule Warriors a lot, so I'm pretty down for that game. It seems like a lot of fun, and the inclusion of other characters is really cool. So we'll move on from something that I'm cautiously excited about to something I'm very excited about, and I think Joe is very excited about this game as well, and that's Splatoon 2.
I'm super excited for Splatoon 2.
A couple weeks.
Oh my gosh.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
3 weeks, something like that. There was a special Nintendo Direct this week for Splatoon 2, where they just gave just another overview of the game for those that maybe didn't play it on the Wii U, which is a lot of people didn't play it on the Wii U. No more than 12 million people played it, because that's all the Wii U's that exist.
Yeah.
But they're really going hard on this one. They really did. That game's a lot of fun. Nintendo's third-person shooter with the Nintendo, you know, aesthetic. It was a great amount of fun. And so the first part of the Nintendo Direct was basically just explaining what Splatoon is. Yeah, explaining the gear system and the weapon system and all these different things.
Being like, you can buy shoes from this guy and shirts from this guy and weapons from this guy.
Yeah, and like the shoes and the things that you buy help give you increased stats and things like that, which was always a big part of Splatoon 1 as well. But what the bigger newsworthy pieces came at the end, and that was the announcement that the Nintendo Online app, the one that they say you're going to need for voice chat, you're going to need to like have for your online, like their PlayStation Plus, their Xbox Live, Nintendo's online app, is launching July 21st alongside Splatoon 2.
Was that the actual Nintendo app? Or I thought it was just a Splatoon app.
No. That's the Splatoon app. So they, in the video, they talked about how there's this Splatoon app that does matchmaking and all these different things for Splatoon. That's within the Nintendo app.
Oh, okay.
So that's what it is. So it's you download the Nintendo app and you launch the like Splatoon skin that then will come over the app that lets you do all these Splatoon related things. At least that's the way they made it seem.
Yeah.
And then I saw other outlets confirming that this is the Nintendo app that we were told about back when.
I missed that part of the presentation.
Yeah, it was at the end. And so they talked about voice chat's going to be in there. And I think we talked about it here. Did we talk about that headset that got leaked from Hori where it's got the weird switch box for headset, which just looks like a giant pain in the ass.
The three-pronged switches and shit.
That looks like a giant pain in the ass. But the app, which is the next part of the Nintendo Online infrastructure that we don't really have a lot of info on, is coming out on the 21st alongside Splatoon. So that's going to be really cool to see how matchmaking works, see how party chat works, see how all these things that I know I have a lot of questions about. And I think, Joe, you have a lot of questions as well. How's the online going to work? How's chat going to work? It was bad on Wii U. It was virtually non-existent on Wii. 3DS doesn't really have any kind of chat or anything, right? It has online, but not.
No.
So this is Nintendo. Seems like they're jumping in 2 feet really now with this.
In a weird way, but they're at least trying something.
In a super weird way, but it'll be interesting to at least get finally some answers to these longstanding questions we've had. So that was important. And then there's also another test fire coming next weekend. Right,
I think it might be this weekend.
Well, technically, yeah. This is Sunday, so obviously not the weekend we're in right now.
No, I think it might be going on now.
No, is the 15th?
Is it? I could have sworn I saw people saying they were playing it online.
I'm double checking right now. Splatfest is what it's called, and the Splatfest that they're doing is basically splitting people up into teams. And what you're doing to get on one team or the other is you're picking which you like better, cake or ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Very long-standing question that many people have, and one that has split even this podcast, as I choose ice cream.
And I choose cake.
Because you're wrong and stupid.
No, cake is far more delicious.
We were talking about this in the drive to the pinball thing, and I think we went on for a half an hour about, all right, fine, here's the deal, Joe. You can only eat one, and they're in front of you, and if you try to eat two, they'll kill you.
Fucking cake!
Multiplayer demo in July. I'm pulling up right here. Split between cake and ice cream. Assumedly, at the end of the weekend, they'll tell you which people prefer based on how well they play, I guess.
I think it's you join a team, and then if your team wins, it ranks it up, and whatever team has the most wins at the end.
Yep. Yeah. They'll prove that cake is better. Just kidding. It's ice cream. Aha, I swerved you. Swerve. All right, so it is July the 15th, so that is next Saturday.
Yeah.
I believe. It's going to give fans a chance to check out the Return of Splatfest, the game's recurring online competition mode. Fans can download the demo in the eShop now. So that's available now. You can download the demo now.
That must have been what I saw then.
Yeah, you can't play it because it's another timed event, which sucks. But it is what it is.
Yeah,
you can
download it for 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah, it runs from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. So 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time. I don't know the UK times. Probably plus 8. So
fuck if I know.
Yeah, I think they're 5 to us. So sometime then as well. So that'll be fun. I will be checking that out next Saturday as well, because I don't think I have anything going on that Saturday that would take precedent over Splatoon 2, because I'm excited. And then the following Friday after that is when the game launches on the 21st.
Cool, because so, I didn't get to play the first test fire.
Yeah, I did. I played a little bit. Not as much as I would have liked to, but I'm definitely going to try to get in and play some of these games because it's really cool.
They showed off some, in the thing, they showed off a bunch of new weapon types and stuff, like a different type of paint roller and the dually pistols. They showed off some. The Splat Umbrella. Mm-hmm. They showed off what I thought was the best part was they showed off a bunch of new game modes in the game. And one in particular, they're taking the Overwatch model, and they have the Protect the Tower, which is there's a tower that you have to if your team is on the tower starts moving towards the enemy base, and you have to try and get it all the way to the enemy base.
Yeah, the middle of the tower has a paintable area, and so you jump up there and you paint it your color, and that
it starts moving towards the enemy base once it's painted that way. So you're fighting for control of the tower, which I thought was a really cool looking game mode.
Yeah, because they already have that capture the area mode, but where it's stationary in the middle and you just got to paint the big square and then defend that.
Yeah.
The fact that this moves is really cool. Yeah. And the fact that it moves towards the enemy's base makes it even cooler, because then that makes it easier for them to try to steal it back and take it. Which is really cool. So I too like those game
modes. And they had that capture the, I don't remember exactly what it was. it was basically capture the flag. There was a thing that you had to capture, but it was like also a weapon that you could use.
Yeah.
So you had to capture it and bring it back to your base, but you could also use it as a weapon. It was like a really powerful weapon too. So you're like constantly fighting for control of like one specific gun, basically.
And I like that too, that they announced some new game modes, because I think a lot of people were worried that this was going to be like Splatoon 1.5, or like, oh, it's just Splatoon 1 with like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there's new levels, new game modes, new weapons, new clothes.
Like the
new
Horde mode thing, the Salmon Rush.
Yeah. Like they added a lot. They added a surprisingly lot of stuff, a surprising number of stuff to this game. So that just makes me even more excited for it. Like I'm getting that day one. I already know that like as soon as, you know, 11 o'clock hits on Friday, I'm just going to take a break at work and just like run to the nearest Best Buy and grab it. So that way I can have it like ready to go and I don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
So I'm super.
I made sure not to order it on the Amazon this
Good
time.
For you. You're learning.
Yes.
I still haven't pre-ordered it. I got to do that, but I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be, you're going to be easy to find copies of it anywhere.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I mean, Mario Kart, I think, was a little bit harder to find
was
just
it?
Like for like a couple of days.
Huh.
Like when I went and bought it at that morning, I got the last copy in the store.
Oh, I guess so. I should probably order it on Amazon or Best Buy then.
Yeah, and like Disgaea 5 was obviously very difficult to find. So.
Well, Disgaea is a very niche thing.
Yeah, that's true. They wouldn't have put out as many copies as they're obviously going to put out of this game. So
yeah, this is going to be a system seller if people can find systems.
Yeah, right. So that was all from the Splatoon Direct. We're going to be talking much more about Splatoon in the coming weeks, as you know, we're going to both try to play in the Splatfest next week. And then the game's going to be out, and we're going to be talking about that, I'm sure, in great detail. Something else that is coming out soon that got a little bit of strange news, but not so strange given the company, is the maker of Sonic Mania, right? Sonic Mania is the new...
Yes.
The maker of Sonic Mania came out and basically said
the head of Sonic Team.
The head of Sonic Team came out and said that how well Sonic Mania sells and is like reviewed and like perceived is going to determine the future of Sonic.
Yeah.
Which we've had these kind of, you know, ultimatum threats a lot recently. We had the Street Fighter one where if Street Fighter 2 sells really good on Switch at $40 a piece, like that'll determine if Capcom like supports the Switch in the future. So we've been seeing these ultimatums and these threats a lot recently. I don't know how Street Fighter 2 sold. I know several people that bought it,
too,
but
good.
But yeah, so this will determine... I think he said it's the future of 2D Sonic is what is the caveat that he gave, meaning if this game sells really well, if it does really well, people really enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, he said, we'll find out after the game's released. We'll find out after the game's released, and we can figure out the direction of future titles after seeing the reaction.
Yeah.
So it seems like he's saying, if this one does well, we'll be making more... We'll be going back to focus more on the 2D aspect than the 3D aspect.
Good, I guess. I mean, that's what people like the most.
And that's what I want.
Yeah. I hate the idle threats. Because, like...
I mean, he might not have intended it as a threat. He might have just been saying, like, oh, I mean, if it does good, then we'll do more of this.
Yeah.
You know? Not like, if it doesn't do good, we're not doing any more, but...
Yeah, well, see, and that's the thing, too. It's like, I know it's probably not meant to be as malicious as it sounds, but it's also being like, if you don't buy this game, you're never going to play a 2D Sonic ever again. And are you okay with that? Because this is on you.
I'm scared.
Yeah, exactly. So like, that's kind of how it comes off. The like, this is on you, you losers.
Yeah. Come on, nerds, buy our game.
Yeah. Which is, granted, that's what every studio's thought process is. If you buy our games, then we'll keep making them. But when you come out and say it, there's something more sinister about it. But ultimately, vote with your wallet, and if you think it's a game that you want to play and you want to play more like them, then by all means, go out and buy it. And if not, if you don't want it, then don't buy it. So that's how capitalism works. That's what makes the world turn, essentially. I get weirded out when they come out and say it.
Yeah.
Like, we all know that's how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I mean, I guess when it comes to this, like, it's a legacy franchise like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if it's some game that no one ever heard of, and they're like, well, it didn't sell well, so we're not making another one. Okay, but if it's like Sonic, you know, and they're like, no more Sonic for you if you don't do this.
But like, what happens if the game sucks, but it's not because it's a 2D game? It's just like, they didn't put the time or the effort into it.
Well, if it's like Sonic 4.
Yeah, which sucks.
Which was a 2D game, but it just sucked because it was a bad game.
Yeah. Like, that's, now you're putting that on the consumers? Like, that doesn't seem right. Like,
no, yeah.
If it's reviewed poorly and they're like, yeah, the game's not good, I wanted to love it because I love 2D Sonic, but the controls are floaty and he doesn't feel like Sonic when he's running. Like, that seems a lot to put on the fan base to be like, well, you guys didn't buy our shitty game, so it looks like we're never going to make Sonics again. It's like, well, but just make a good one, though.
Yeah.
Make one that's fun and feels like Sonic. So, we'll see. I might get that game.
I'm going to buy it. I'm definitely going to get it.
I like Sonic, but I've been burned recently with 2D Sonic games.
Yeah.
So I'm cautiously optimistic. If you get it and you love it, that'll be the decision maker for me, or if I try it out.
I'm sure I'll review it on this.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely be talking. When does that come out again? It's soon, right?
It's a good question. Let me look.
Look that up. We're looking it up.
Sonic Mania.
Looking it.
Will be released August 15th.
Oh, yeah. So, a month.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that more as it comes. And maybe if it's good and I want it, then Joe can buy me a copy.
Oh, nice little segue you got there.
Nice little segue.
Because you don't have an Xbox, though. So it won't work because Microsoft has introduced or will be introducing a new feature to the Xbox One system. They're going to be adding game gifting to it.
Game gifting.
Yeah. So it's something that you've been able to do on Steam for a long time.
Yep.
Basically allows you to buy a digital copy of a game for a friend, and mm-hmm. it just unlocks it on their console so that they can download it.
Now, what I want to know, I don't know if they outlined how this specifically works. Is it just like in the checkout process, you click a box that says this is a gift and you put in someone's gamer tag?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I sort of assume it how it would work. It may ask you, like, is this for you or is this for a friend? And then you say yes, and it says, what friend? And I'm sure it's something like, yeah, they have to be in your friends list, and they've probably something where, like, because the way that the Xbox works is you can follow somebody, but they don't have to follow you back. So, like, say if there's somebody that's like a famous gamer, you know, like
a YouTube personality,
like you can follow PewDiePie's, you know,
can
gamer
follow
tag.
Joe on Xbox.
Yes,
he doesn't have to follow you back.
Joby51K,
there you go.
Yeah,
look at that.
So you can follow them and see like what they're playing and stuff like that, but they don't have to follow you back. So I'm sure it'll be something where like you have to be following them and they have to be following you.
And
I mean, it could just be like, you know, if you are a famous YouTuber and you're like, I want to play this game.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, we'll buy you a copy. I'm a fan of yours.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's no different than like, here's my Amazon wish list. If you guys want to buy me something off my Amazon wish list, go ahead and do it.
That's a good point.
So I guess it's not that different. When you said that at first, like I got really like icky about it, where it's like, wait, now people are just going to be like, don't join my Patreon and buy me a copy of this game and do this. It's like, I don't like this now.
That's what a lot of people on Twitch do.
Yeah.
I mean, Twitch is just throwing money at people for playing games.
Yeah. So I guess it's not even that different. Like at first, just the immediate reaction was like, ooh, I don't like that. But then I guess it's not that bad. But game gifting itself is cool. Like that's a cool little feature, especially if you have a friend that's an all digital type person. Like you could buy them, you know, an Xbox Live card and be like, here you go. I know you wanted this game.
I have done that in the past where I've been like, I'm playing this game and I want a friend to play it with me. But he lives in New Hampshire. And I'm like, all right. So I just go to Amazon. I buy, you know, 2,000 Xbox points. And I text him the code and say, here, download this game and play it with me.
Which, like, it's not that difficult in terms of, like...
But it's nice that it's a streamlined way of doing it now. Exactly.
That's what's really cool about this. Because I think you guys did that with... you and Skip did that with John in Wildlands, right? And you guys get him a copy of Wildlands?
That was send him a physical copy off of Amazon.
Yeah, but it's still like...
Well, yeah, it's essentially that.
You had to go, you had to then ship it to him, and then he had to get it and, like, you do it. Whereas you could easily just be like, hey, man, I just gifted you Wildlands. Start playing right now. We're going to go play.
Yeah.
Like, that part's really cool. I really like that.
And hopefully it's something like, you know, on Xbox, it can download games when your Xbox is turned off. So it might be something... Like, it'd be cool if it was, I buy it for him, and then when he gets home that day, it's already downloaded and installed on his system.
That would be really cool. Because that would, you know, it's probably not something that a lot of people do a lot, but the fact that it's now a feature, I think, I don't know if this has been like an often recommended, like, hey, can we have this? Like, can we please?
It was the most requested feature.
Oh, it was.
On their surveys that they do, because they have a Xbox survey program, and it was the most requested feature they asked for.
Well, there you go. So yeah. I guess
something
more people
like 4,700 like requests for it or something.
No, there you go. So there you go. Xbox listening to the fans and giving it's a pretty cool feature. Mm-hmm. I like it. So that's it for the bigger news pieces, which means it's time once again for the lightning round. Joe, do you want to start us off?
What do we got there? Oh, yeah. Okay, so first up...
Lightning round.
Bayonetta. Did you ever play Bayonetta?
No, I actually, for my ex, I bought her Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U, which came with Bayonetta 1. She really wanted to play it. I still, to this day, think she's never, ever put it in the machine.
I played Bayonetta 1. I really liked it. I liked those kind of games.
I played bits and pieces in college.
I did buy Bayonetta 2, but I didn't play it just because it was on the Wii U.
Yep.
And it was kind of like, it didn't really play very well. But there are now rumors looking like it could be coming to the Nintendo Switch, because from the official Twitter account, they tweeted out a picture of... It was just a little picture of like Bayonetta from Bayonetta 1 and Bayonetta from Bayonetta 2, and in a red and a blue...
Which was the color schemes of the two different games.
Well, no, which was the color scheme of the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, see... all right, pause lightning round. The things that I had saw was that like the motif of each part of the picture... Yeah. But like, I guess that's the color of the two boxes in general.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Like... the red and the blue. They made it seem like that was in reference to the game less so than the color of the multicolored like Joy-Con.
What it came from is they tweeted out the picture, yeah, and people said, "Oh, that looks like Nintendo Switch colors. Are we going to be getting a Switch version?" And they favorited somebody's tweet asking that. And that basically made everybody go like, "Oh shit, I guess Bayonetta's coming to the Switch."
Yeah.
And it's going to be Bayonetta like a 1 and 2 complete edition.
Yeah, which, all right, I might give those games a shot. They were fun.
Yeah, well, I like Bayonetta 1, like I said. I never played 2 on the Wii U, but I would totally play it on the Switch.
Well, yeah, because
it would be nice console to actually be able to go back and play it on that now.
Yeah, it's a better console, so yeah. Makes sense. Lightning round. We got a new character for ARMS announced. Yes. Is it out?
I don't know. Not yet. It's okay. Definitely not out yet.
What's the name of the character?
The character is Max Brass. He was one of the, like, the boss characters from the game, but now you can actually play as him.
What's he look like again?
He's like brass colored.
Oh yeah, he looks like Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, he looks like Johnny, but he's got a giant like fist for his hair.
Yeah, but it still looks like hair. Yeah,
yeah.
Fighter Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, Fighter Johnny Bravo. He's a new character, just like Big Max Brass. He will be free in July.
Okay. So
doesn't give an actual date, so it should be any point now.
Yeah. So if it's not out now, it'll be out before the end of the month, which is soon. Lightning round. This one is a follow-up to a story that we talked about a couple weeks ago concerning Grand Theft Auto. There was a cease and desist letter about mods, and that's been rescinded.
Yeah. Take-Two put a cease and desist order out for the open... I don't know if it's supposed to be open 4 or open IV... modding kit.
Probably open 4, I would think.
Yeah. Roman numeral 4.
Yes.
Probably because they probably started on like GTA 4.
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
Yeah. So they put out a cease and desist order for that, and they said, you know, stop making that thing. And then Rockstar came to their defense and said, no, let them make their thing. And now it looks like they decided to let them make their thing because the Open 4 modding tool is back up for download.
Yay!
Online. So go out there and make your Spider-Man mods for GTA 5.
Yep, your Incredible Hulks and your...
Iron Mans and Batmans and...
I saw a video...
Guns that shoot whales.
I saw a video where it was Elmer Fudd, and I think there were a bunch of Bugs Bunnies running around the world. Like, they turned the pedestrians into Bugs Bunnies or something.
Hunting wabbits?
Yeah.
Lots of wabbit hunting.
I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, good for them. I'm glad that they, like, the fact
it's
that...
It's really cool of Rockstar.
Well, Rockstar was with it the whole way.
Yeah.
It's really now cool of Take-Two to be like, all right, fine, Rockstar says it's cool, we don't care.
And I'm sure, like, some higher up at Rockstar, you know, got on the phone and called somebody and was like, yo, dude, what the fuck? What's the deal, bro?
What happened to you, Take-Two? You used to be cool.
Yeah, man.
Chill out. So that's
good. You're going corporate, bro.
Yeah, you sold out. So that's good. So next piece, lightning round. Overwatch got a new dude.
Yes. So going with adding new DLC characters, Overwatch got a new character called Doomfist.
He's a punchy guy.
Yes. He's got a fist, two fists of doom.
Oh, doom.
I don't really care much about Overwatch. So
no, but
I don't know if this guy existed in the lore beforehand, if he was known to exist or something, if he was a established character and now you finally get to play as him.
No idea whatsoever, but Overwatch people seem to be hyped from what I saw online, and I think he's out now, I believe?
I think he comes out on the 25th.
Oh, okay.
Or no, wait. He's a 25th character added to the series.
Wow.
So I don't know when he actually is supposed to come out.
That's a good amount.
Yeah.
And they seem to update them with regularity, so like I said, I don't play Overwatch, but I know a bunch of people that do. And, you know, they're always super into that game. So anything that's new and fun that that community gets really into, I'm all about that for them. So, and lightning round?
Lightning round.
Lightning round. Assassin's Creed. It's getting an anime.
Yeah, so...
From the guy who made the Castlevania anime.
Yeah, so Netflix on Friday unveiled their new Castlevania anime.
Lightning round pause.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
No, I don't have Netflix.
I watched it. I watched the first two episodes of four, which when I started it, it was like really late on Friday after after we got back from the pinball. And I was like, oh, I'll give this a shot. Like, maybe I don't want to get too deep into it. So I'll watch a couple episodes. If I had known it was four, I probably just would have finished it. But it's not bad. It's not great. I've said multiple times I'm not a big anime guy. So like, it didn't have a lot of that stuff in anime that bothers me, like the stylistic choices that bother me. But it's hyper violent. Like, it's incredibly violent. I've seen,
fits in with the Castlevania motif.
Yeah, but just like, so the story follows Dracula. And,
oh, it follows Dracula?
No, no, well, like, Dracula is the central figure that you first meet.
Well, yeah, it's a Castlevania game.
And it follows his attack on this, like, country that killed his wife. I mean, this is, like, there's no spoilers. This is, like, the first thing that happens in the game.
Sounds like he's justified. He killed his wife.
Yeah, but clearly they need help, so they bring in the guy whose name I forgot already, because I watched a couple days ago.
Richter Belmont?
Yes.
Is it Richter in this one?
No, it's Trevor.
Trevor.
Trevor Belmont. And so they just kind of get into like the overview of like people in the town hate the Belmonts. They like there's one guy who really doesn't like the Belmonts, tries to start a fight with them.
I heard he's like a drunk asshole.
Yeah, he's kind of a D-bag. But I guess it works within the context because, you know, you'd think Dracula is justified in what he's doing because of what happened. So the antithesis to that would be some kind of D-bag, I would assume. But it's not bad. So I'm all for an Assassin's Creed anime or animated series. I don't know if it'll be strictly anime style.
Hopefully
or just,
it's better than the movie.
Yeah, I still didn't see the movie yet, but you had nothing but terrible things to say.
I didn't finish it.
Ooh, didn't even finish it?
I turned it off.
Yikes. What if it has a big redeeming third arc? Third act, rather.
Maybe someday I'll go back and I'll try watching it again, but...
No, probably not. So yeah, the guy that made the Castlevania anime, which is fine, and which did get renewed for a second season.
It's been renewed for a second season.
Is also making Assassin's Creed one, which I'm more interested in that than the Castlevania one, just because like there's a lot of cool elements to Assassin's Creed that I really enjoy, which is why I keep giving them a shot.
They've made animated or Assassin's Creed stuff in the past. Like they put out animated Assassin's Creed movies and stuff. Like Assassin's Creed Embers or something like that.
I ever saw that.
I didn't either. I know it exists.
What was that one? I think I have a Blu-ray for it.
I mean, there was like Assassin's Creed Legacy or something like that.
Yeah, something. The live action Mortal Kombat type.
Yeah, it was like a six-part miniseries that they put together as a movie.
Yeah, I think I own that, but I never watched it. So yeah, I'm down for that because the things I like about Assassin's Creed are the settings and the stories.
Well, we don't know what the setting in this
movie. I know, but like typically that's what I like about Assassin's Creed stuff. What I don't like is the climb here, climb there, climb that thing, run, climb, 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 jump, climb, run.
Collect the thing.
Collect the thing. The eagle vision. So like,
I like about them. I like exploring games, so that's why I enjoy the Assassin's Creed games.
Well, the exploring is cool. The repetition of that exploring is what is a little grating. Like I started playing Black Flag. I'm giving another Assassin's Creed game another chance, and I'm liking it so far. The ship stuff is cool, and then like the second that they were like, "All right, climb to the top of this tower," I was like, "Oh yeah." That's what I didn't like about these games is the repetitious climb. But I'm totally down for an animated series that could take those elements of the story and the setting and like the assassins and the Templars and all that cool stuff that I like about the games and remove the repetitious climb, run, jump, climb. So will you watch that if it's on Netflix, even though you don't have Netflix? Because you don't seem too hyped about the Castlevania one because we talked about...
I mean, I've heard good things. It's just, yeah, I don't have Netflix, so like I can get it other ways that I don't want to mention.
Yes, we want to, you know, implement.
And I'm sure I will check it out at some point, but it's not anywhere on my like to-do list.
What, the Castlevania one?
Yeah.
Would an Assassin's Creed one be on your list?
Probably not. No? Depends on how much I enjoy the next game.
Well, if, say, but if it's not tied to the next game at all, like say,
yeah, but if it like puts me in the mood.
What if it was a Black Flag one? Because like I know
if,
how you love pirates.
If it was a Black Flag one, then I would be excited.
Pirates and assassins.
Yes,
that'd be pretty cool, right?
Yes.
So here's hoping for Joe that it's pirate based in some form or fashion, or at least hooks you in. I think they said the show is going to come out next year.
Yeah, 2018.
So probably don't have that long to wait. I'm sure there'll be a trailer sooner rather than later. Though they did say it was kind of just in the early stages of planning, which makes me think that they probably won't hit a 2018.
And also they're now working on two things at once now that they're making the second season of the Castlevania one and the Assassin's Creed one.
That's true. They could always ship out stuff to different, like a different studio could be drawing it or something like that, but the guy is still involved in producing it, even though a different like group could be creating it. But yeah, I'll, you know, we'll talk about that as it gets closer, and I'm sure once there's a trailer, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but I'm kind of excited for it. But lightning round resume, PlayStation 4 or PlayStation Now, the service that's basically like Netflix of PlayStation, so to speak, where it's the rental and you pay a monthly fee and you can just play whatever games you want. That service has now added PS4 games for the very first time, which is pretty cool. Up until now, I think it had just been PS3. I don't even think it was
PS2. Wasn't it just PS3?
I think it was mostly PS3. I don't think it was necessarily PS2, and I don't think there was any Vita.
Was it PS1?
I don't think there was PS1 either. I think it was just PS3 games. Mm. But it's still a lot of games.
I never bothered looking.
I tried it once. Lightning round pause, because we'll talk about this a little bit.
Why was this even a lightning round? Like, we paused on like everything so far.
No, we've only paused on two things so far. Maybe this might be the third. Either way, it's fine. That's how the game works. It's fun. It's a thing. But we're not going to talk too in-depth about it. We're probably going to talk now.
So stop talking about this
We're going to banter more about the lightning round and how it works than we're going to talk about this particular topic.
I screwed myself with this one.
I did that just to annoy you. But yeah, so the service now has over 500 games, PS4 and PS3. So there it is right there on that article.
Well, now PS4 and PS3. Yeah.
So here's the list of games. We'll just run through these real quick. Killzone Shadowfall, God of War 3 Remastered, two games I just bought.
I think all of these things were on the sale recently.
Yeah, Saints Row 4 Reelected, WWE 2K16, Tropical 5, Ultimate Street Fighter 4. Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Get it right.
I know. F1 2015, Darksiders 2 Definitive Edition.
Definitive Edition.
Wow, I read that as a real word and not a made-up dumb one. Evolve, MX vs. ATV, Supercross Encore, Rezogun, Helldivers, Broken Age, Dead Nation Apocalypse Edition, Grim Fandango Remastered, Akiba's Beat, Castle Storm Definitive Edition, Exist Archive, The Other Side of the Sky.
No idea what that is.
Nidhogg, and Super Mega Baseball. I do think all those games were probably on that sale, which is probably why they sailed them, because they wanted you to try to buy them. So you said you've never tried PlayStation Now?
No.
I did. I think I tried it twice, one with each of my gamer tags for like the 1 week free trial or whatever. And it's cool. Like, it's cool to go back and have the ability for that backwards compatibility. But once the week was up, I was like, I'm good. I don't really need to like pay long term for this.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of expensive. I don't remember. So, and
$9 a month.
That's an intro offer for the first month for new subscribers only. And the 1 year subscription price is $100. So,
yeah, the game lineup never really wowed me enough to bother paying $100 a year for that.
Yeah, and especially for like just to have PS3 games when like I still have my PS3, it's not hooked up, and I don't really play it very much.
I would rather be able to get the chance to buy PS3 games, $100 worth of PS3 games I want, and keep them forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If there was backwards compatibility, I would much rather have that.
Yeah.
Than this. This is kind of cool. It's not necessarily like the coolest thing, because backwards compatibility is better than like a service that's kind of backwards compatibility, kind of not. But it's still cool that they're now adding PS4 games. So that way, like, hey, if you just wanted to try out this game and you have this service already, all power to you. Here you go. Try it out.
I mean, how else am I going to play Exist Archive, The Other Side of the Sky?
I don't know. You'd have to bust out your PS3. And they also did add a bunch of PS3 games as well to make that list over 500. This list has a lot better ones. Red Dead, Mortal Kombat, Injustice, Last of Us. What do we got? Sonic Generations was good. Force Unleashed. Arkham Origins wasn't that good. Saints Row 4, Beyond Two Souls, Saints Row 2, Force Unleashed 2. Lego Batman, Undead Nightmare, God of War 3. So, like, there's a bunch of cool stuff on here. They do always do the 7-day free trial. So, if you're interested about PlayStation Now, definitely check it out. But Joe's not, so he's not going to check it out. Lightning round resume. Call of Duty World War II Zombies is getting revealed at Comic-Con, which is next week.
Sure.
I believe 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks. Hmm. It's the 20 through the 22nd or something like that.
I don't really care about the zombies.
It'll be cool to see it.
You know, I just the fact that they were like, okay, we're going to be super serious with this one. It's going to be super realistic. I kind of was hoping that they would just not do zombies this time. Yeah. I know it's like part of the thing, but it would have been cool. Well, not cool. It's just the fact that they were like, we're going to be really, really, we're going to handle this with like a lot of reverence for, you know, yeah, all this stuff. And then there's also zombies.
Yeah. I was never super big into the zombie parts of the previous Call of Duty games that had zombies. I've said before, I'm not a zombies guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't... Okay, ooh, they're dead and they move slower and that's fun. Let's shoot those things. Like, it's whatever. In a game where you can shoot regular people that, like, move like regular people, like, why would I want to shoot the slow thing that looks scary? Like, mm-hmm, it doesn't make... This is a video game. Like, I want to shoot other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather shoot monsters than zombies for whatever reason.
They did switch up for one of them and do aliens instead of zombies.
Yeah, see, like...
It was like Black Ops 2, I think. They had aliens instead.
Yeah, because didn't they go to space in that one?
No, like, they straight up, it wasn't zombies. Like, they did, like, aliens instead.
What was the game where they had the space level?
I think they've done that a couple times at this point.
There you go.
But that was zombies in space. Yeah, it was you're on a Nazi moon base in fighting the aliens up, or the zombies up there.
So stupid.
Yeah, the shit got way too over the top after a while, and it started annoying me.
So stupid. But yeah, it's going to get a reveal at Comic-Con, so I'm sure we'll talk about that in a couple weeks when they do reveal it. Even if it's just, did you like it? No. All right, moving on. So yeah, we could have another Call of Duty World War II Zombies Lightning Round, not Lightning Round edition, in a couple of weeks. So next piece, Lightning Round. Robert Kirkman, the guy who created The Walking Dead, the comic book, mm-hmm, is getting a game based on another one of his comic books called Thief of Thieves. Not too much is known about it at this time, but that's going to get a bigger reveal at Comic-Con as well, since gaming is now seeping into Comic-Con, just like movies have overtaken it. So we'll get that in a little bit. But
they talk about comics at Comic-Con?
I know, right? You wouldn't think that, given all the movie and video game news that we get at Comic-Con. It's very strange. But, you know, I like that guy. He makes a lot of good, you know, graphic novels and comic books and stuff like that. So I'm all down for him expanding. And if the game is good, then the game is good.
There are a lot of other franchises I would have liked to have seen do something. Like, an Invincible video game would be amazing.
What kind of game would it be, you think?
I mean, it'd be like you fly around as Invincible and fuck shit up.
There you go. So Superman 64, that's what you want.
Yeah.
All right, next piece, Lightning Round. Horizon Zero Dawn got a new patch, an update with New Game Plus, and a super hard mode. So there you go for all those people.
Aren't they just like copying Zelda's recent update also at that point?
But this is free. It's not DLC, it's just a patch for the game. So it's something that they didn't get to put in there. And to be fair, they came out around the same time anyway, so might as well they follow the same pattern.
Yeah.
So
I remember hearing a lot of people comparing them when they came out.
Well, yeah, because they're both open worlds, bow and arrow games.
So, yeah, like, it was like obviously comparison thing.
Yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, so check that out. I still have to get back and play Horizon. I'm really into it. I really want to see it. But I haven't played it yet. I've just been playing too many other things. But the cool thing is New Game Plus. I like when games have New Game Plus. And who doesn't love a good ultra hard mode?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for the...
No, that's some more.
Oh, Lightning Round.
Five Nights at Freddy's 6 has been canceled.
Boo.
Yeah, which it wasn't even announced at any point either. It was actually setting up to be announced. Scott Cawthon, I think his name is. He's the guy that makes the series. I think it's pretty much all just him that makes them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of stuff building up towards the announcement of the next game. Like, they were doing a lot of augmented reality kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the website was updating with, like, you know, little secrets and stuff, because the game are all about the little secrets. And then just when everyone was expecting the game to get announced, he came out and said, oh, I'm canceling it. I got personal stuff to deal with, so I'm not going to be making it.
That's fair, then.
Yeah.
It's personal stuff. It's not like
3 days earlier, teasers were coming out.
Oh.
And, like... the website like went staticky and stuff like that, and everyone assumed it was because of the announcement of the next game.
No, it got staticky because it's being deleted.
Yep, apparently.
It's not a game I ever got into, and I'm kind of okay with it going away.
Well, I mean, at least it sucks for the fans of it. I never really played them either, but...
Yeah, I just... It's permeating too many things. Like, I can't go to a store without seeing a Five Nights at Freddy's.
A ton of Five Nights at Freddy's stuff, so I'm like
kind
of, figures.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it.
Yeah. Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Sony had to take down a video for the game Anthem.
I forgot you told me about this.
Yeah. So, Sony posted a video of on YouTube of the game, BioWare's new game Anthem.
Yep.
And people noticed something very odd about the video.
Very strange.
Yes. They noticed, for one thing, that it was actually footage from the Xbox One X version of the game. Ooh. And they had just removed the Xbox symbols on the control, like on the buttons.
ABXY.
They removed the ABXY and replaced it with the circle, triangle, square, X.
That's so Sony.
And everyone was just, and like you could still see the Microsoft symbols behind it, like poorly photoshopped over it.
Like they didn't even do a good job.
Nope. No, everyone was easily able to point it out.
That's Sony to a T. It's why I both love and hate Sony, because it's like they do dumb shit like this where it's like, listen, we're going to catch you. We know. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah, like you can clearly see the left and right bumpers over the L1, R1.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, yeah, like a 1 is just superimposed over a B. Like, get out of here. Come on. Who do you think's not going to notice that?
I don't know, but they thought they could get away with it.
Internet detectives are really good at their job. They're probably better than regular detectives at their job. And just, come on. That's ridiculous. You crazy, Sony.
Yeah.
Just admit the PS4 Pro is underpowered compared to the Xbox One X, which it is. But
I mean, we all knew that was coming.
So, like, don't even worry about it. Just get
you're outselling it like 2-1. Yeah. So I think even more than 2-1 right now.
Plus, Anthem,
I think you have like 80% of the market share at the moment.
Plus, like, Anthem isn't it just like rip off Destiny at this point?
Pretty much.
You're in bed with Bungie with Destiny. Just hype Destiny more. Like, why put up a fake, you know, like altered video?
Well, it's not made by Bungie. It's made by BioWare.
I know, but I'm saying, like, you're in bed with the better version of this type of game.
Yeah.
Why are you doing a superimposed, like, fake video with the knockoff of the game that you already are in bed with? Like, come on, guys. What are you doing? Silly.
And lightning round.
Lightning round.
Oddworld creator Lorne Lanning has found himself in some undeserved hot water.
Hot water.
He was recently on... Greg Miller?
Greg Miller's podcast?
Yeah, Greg Miller, Game Over Greggy.
Game Over Greggy show.
Yeah, he was recently on that show talking about the Nintendo Switch and how he wasn't really planning on bringing any of the Oddworld games to the Switch. And during it, some people took something he said out of context. Maybe a bit poorly chosen word, phraseology, yep. But clearly you should have known what he was saying. But while talking, he said... the thinking has to change. The biggest problem I see at Nintendo is the thinking. Personally, I think it killed Iwata that he couldn't move the organization into a really successful arena. People assumed he was saying that he believed that their inability to change is what killed Iwata.
Literally
killed him 2 years ago now that he died?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Not broke his heart.
No.
Literally killed him.
Yeah, not upset him that he wasn't able to change the focus of the company. But people thought he was saying that it was actually what caused his death. And it was picked up by a couple, you know, gaming publications. And a lot of people on Twitter got very, very mad at him.
Yeah, a lot of Nintendo outlets as well.
Yeah, a lot of Nintendo outlets, obviously, because, you know, that's the main focus. But he found himself having to defend himself from a lot of people online and a very, very silly little bit of outrage.
I mean, listen, I get it. People say dumb stuff sometimes.
It wasn't even a dumb thing. No. You should have easily been able to understand what he was saying.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, people say dumb stuff, and they say things that offend other people, and they say things that they probably shouldn't have said. This is not one of those times. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of those times where... how have you never heard the, like, oh, it killed them that they couldn't, you know, go to that thing?
It killed me that this happened.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my son couldn't make it home for Christmas because he had to work. Like, it kills me that he couldn't make it. And, like...
doesn't mean I'm actually dying in the process.
Like, that's the phraseology. And granted, I can understand you taking the leap of being like, but he's actually dead. Like, poor choice of words. But at the same time, it's like, but you know what he meant. Like, get off the keyboard. Like, you don't have to be a keyboard warrior for this one. It's fine.
Yeah.
He meant he was sad.
Yeah.
Which, I can understand that. I can understand wanting Nintendo to reach new heights.
Yeah, and I'm sure he would be perfectly happy with Nintendo right now with the Switch and stuff.
I would hope so. I hope it wouldn't be killing him all over again.
And now the outrage machine
pointed at us. That's all right. That's how we get listeners. We got to outrage them. We'll be on Nintendo life now.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's the goal. But yeah, like don't get mad at stuff like that. Like, you know what he meant. It's fine. Like,
yeah.
If you want to laugh that he said that. And then the guy was like, dead.
Awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
How dare you?
What? How dare you insinuate Nintendo murdered Iwata? And I'm not saying that, but maybe they did. Yeah. Like, that's not, come on. Stop it. That's dumb. All right, anything else in the lightning round?
No, that's it. Now we're done.
Lightning round. Another successful lightning round. Not lightning round. See, we had a bunch of topics and we only paused like 3 times. It's fine.
All right.
It's good. All right. Works.
If you say so.
Yeah. Do you have any SR beatdown this week?
No, I do not.
I do not either because we had a busy week and we did a whole bunch of fun stuff.
Yeah.
So that is going to do it for our episode this week of the Broken Clock Podcast. Remember that you can find this podcast every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and Google Play podcast services. You can like and subscribe and share and tell people that you liked it and that you listened to it and that it's actually not that bad. You can follow us on Twitter at Broken Clock Pods. We're always tweeting out when new stuff comes out. We do have our wrestling show, The Broken Clock's main event, that will also be up this week for WWE Great Balls of Fire.
Jesus Christ.
I know, it's a real dumb name, but we didn't name it. That's just the way it got named. So look for that this week as well. And then hopefully we got some usable footage from our time at Pintastic New England. You can follow them on Twitter. Like, I'll give them a shout out because they put on a pretty awesome event at Pintastic NE. They're not on too much, but neither are we, so it's fine. So if you're at all interested in pinball and live in the New England area and want to be, you know, kept up to date as to what they're doing and if they're doing any other conventions, or just so that way you're ready for next year's convention if and when it does roll around, you can follow them as well. And then hopefully we can put up some videos or share some more pictures that we took at the event where we had a whole bunch of fun. So, Joe, anything else that you want to get out there before we wrap up for the day?
No.
All right. So look for all of our content up this week. There's going to be a bunch of it. But once again, for the Broken Clock Podcast, my name is Adam.
And I'm Joe.
And thanks so much for listening.